We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it is Thanksgiving week. Thank you for tuning in to this fine football program, podcast? I'm not sure. It's a little bit of everything.
Not a podcast.
It's not a podcast.
One college football podcast.
Oh yeah, there's that show. Yeah, I forgot. There's another show that claims to be the exclusive. Anyway, this is College Sports Now. He's Roddy Jones, ACC Network.
How can they? I mean, I love those guys. And I love that show. But how? Like, you can't just lay claim on the only podcast. That's rude.
But they are the only one. There's not another one.
There's a few.
No, there aren't. There's not a single other college football podcast.
It's a crowded space.
A little confusing.
That's Michael Serber, by the way. He is the producer and captain of that fine show that we are referring to. I'm not going to lie, boys. I had a rough weekend, and this week is kind of hectic for all of us that work in this chosen industry of college sports. There's just way too much programming. Way too much. I blame the television networks. They've done this. Why are we playing basketball in the Virgin Islands and the Bahamas?
Oh,
like, what are we
question.
Doing? Like, why are we doing this? Like, we don't need to do this, but yet here we are. And Serber and I are in it, up to our eyeballs. Roddy, you've got two games this week, but that's business as usual for you. That's the life you've chosen.
That is also factually incorrect.
What?
Your boy's only doing one game this week. Not only am I only doing one game, but get this. Your boy gets to travel on Friday morning, and I get to fly back on Saturday morning. I got a 24-hour travel day. I got one game. You can't tell me nothing. Let's go.
Hang on a sec. Give me a hint. I don't know what game you're doing. Give me a hint. Is it in the ACC?
Yes.
Oh, so you're doing Virginia Tech.
No, that's a Saturday game.
Serber, do you know the answer?
I don't know. I got no clue.
I've got State Carolina. Let's go, baby.
Meaningless game.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
No, you know nothing, Stephen Hartzell.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a meaningless game.
Get this man, Serber.
Listen,
Serber,
why is it
come get your mans. Come get your mans, Serber.
Why is it a meaningless game, Hartzell?
Because the Deeks are going to handle their business Saturday. That's why it's a meaningless game.
No, because this game happens
before
Saturday.
At Death Valley, you're confident is going to take care of business against BC?
100%.
The team you saw last Saturday, the performance you saw, you're confident right now saying that?
100%.
Let's put some stakes on it.
Ooh.
I say Boston College wins. Stakes on me. Stakes are stakes.
It's getting spicy.
The stakes
Man,
are
Serber,
stakes.
Serber got back to 1-1 in head-to-head bets this weekend, and he's feeling good now.
Wow. I mean, I don't know what the line is. I haven't gotten that far in my show prep.
Fuck the line.
Wow. Oh,
jeez.
Early in the episode.
Man.
Ready? You ready for this?
And
BC
that one,
wins straight up. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah.
That one hit me. That one hit me too, Serber. Like,
I'll double down.
I felt that one in my chest.
Heels beat the pack, baby. Whoa! Clemson's going to Charlotte.
Whoa!
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 Burr, 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 burr.
Whoa!
I don't want to do this. I don't want to
shoot from the hip.
Excuse me. I don't want to do this to start the show. Wake Forest is a 5-point favorite in Chestnut Hill. Yes, Herber, you got yourself a bet. You got yourself a bet.
Whoa! Right,
stakes on me.
Stakes, man. On stakes. Love it.
I tell you what. Look, Cerber must not have seen what happened in Chestnut Hill last weekend. But anyway,
they almost won. It was a 3-point loss to Florida State, one of the hottest teams in college football.
They were getting blown out going into the fourth. Like,
Jerk
could not move the ball. What'd you say?
The Jerk brought him back.
Jerk.
Jerk's coming. Jerk's coming for Wake.
Anyway, so first off, Hartzell, it's not a meaningless game, because whether or not you think the Deacs are going to take care of business in Chestnut Hill on Saturday, this game happens prior to Saturday, which means by default, at the time of the game, it's still a meaningful game. If the Deacs played on Friday and they won and we were going in, then it would be a quote unquote, as you say, meaningless game. Two, like, it's a day early, but I will get Wayne Cook in here and I will have Wayne lecture you about saying these rivalries are meaningless games. Meaningless to who? Not meaningless to the fan bases, not meaningless to the players, and not meaningless. Oh, if I could do a Wayne Cook impression right now, I would do it. It's not meaningless to those seniors, Steven.
Oh, God.
It's not.
You're right.
Conference championships matter, guys.
That's a terrible Wayne Cook. I mean, it's a strained voice. I get it. I understand.
That was, yeah. But don't make me
fine.
Go full Wayne.
Fine, fine.
Things.
It's a fine. I get it. I've lived in the state of North Carolina for over a decade. It's a big deal. There. You happy?
By the way, yes. Do you know who's controlled the rivalry the last 10 years?
Pack.
You are correct. Really since the Tom O'Brien era started?
They threw hands a couple years ago. I mean, it got ugly. It spilled
and
over
Gio
into
Bernard
the
Bernard threw haymakers too a couple years ago with that penalty. Well, that was a long time ago now.
It's rivalry week. I'm here for it. It's great. Here's the thing. I we'll talk about that game. I mean, it's probably knocking on the door of one of the top 15 rivalries coming up this weekend. Probably right on the outside looking in.
One of the top 15? You are so disrespectful. First off, like, Mr. Elitist, how many of these rivalry games, quote-unquote, mean something? Ohio State-Michigan is about the only one. Like, give me another one that, in your definition, means something.
Florida State?
Yeah, bowl eligibility.
Matters. Matters.
I mean, look, you got me there. You are correct. Name me another one then.
I mean, they all Apple Cup, baby. They all matter. Civil War, whatever
matter,
we're calling
bro.
That thing. You got Apple Territorial Cup, Governor's
Apple
Cup.
Apple Cup matters in the
Mayor's
same
Cup.
Way that this
I mean, you got
matters.
All kinds of stuff throwing down this weekend,
Commonwealth Cup.
Man.
Yeah,
come on.
Blah, 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 blah.
Miami Duke, that matters.
Honestly, Miami Duke, a tradition on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke doesn't matter.
Cut's last stand. Let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate it.
So
listen, I want to listen, Roddy. I love you, man. I do. Like, we will spend some time speaking of rivalries. I would love to get your thoughts on clean old fashioned hate coming up Saturday. Can we just start with some off the field stuff? There are two bins of content that I would like to cover on the show. The first one involves what happened. Well, I mean, technically it happened on the field, but it continues to happen off the field. Another coaching job has opened up in college football.
Another coaching job has also been filled.
That's true. Yes. Which one? Are you talking about UMass?
I'm talking about UMass.
Okay, yes. Shout out to Don Brown, who is who's headed into Amherst, ladies and gentlemen. That's a big deal.
UMass.
I'm talking about a top 10 job in college football.
Yeah.
Dan Mullen
is now
open. Listen, bro. Dan Mullen got fired, and they were 5-6. It's been a dismal season.
I am speechless. I am speechless about this whole thing. Because, how? How does this happen?
I think there's a couple of reasons. And look, I understand that the coaching carousel is good for business for a lot of people that traffic in this space, all right? And I understand that. Like, I get it. I understand why you need stuff like this, because people will click on your coaching candidate's article and, you know, the message boards and the, you know, everything.
By the way, do we ever hold people to account on this stuff?
I don't know.
Because people be throwing out all kinds of crazy coaches. And people are in the pockets of agents, and they're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is a candidate. But like, no, so-and-so is not a candidate for such and such.
It's like draft grading or, you know, anything else, signing day grades. I mean, it's all the same thing. By the way, this is a big deal, the signing day portion of this, because I believe that's coming up, what, December 15th, early signing day? I mean, it's here. Right? It's like 3 weeks away. Here's the thing on Dan Mullen, and listen, I am going to put, this is not a hat that I wear often on this show, I have occasionally, but I'm putting it firmly on for the next couple minutes here. Okay, I grew up in a Florida Gators household, okay? Like, that was the team that I grew up rooting for along with my dad, deep, deep in enemy territory, okay, growing up in Atlanta. I think this is an overreaction. Like I'm just putting that out there because I don't think that's a narrative that a lot of people have voiced. Yeah, it's easy to say you're 5-6, you need to get the hell gone. This is less than 6 months removed from a contract extension. This is less than a year removed from a spot in the SEC championship game, a spot in which they lost by a touchdown to the eventual national champs. Listen, I realize
that one of the greatest teams we've ever seen. Like we have anointed that team one of the greatest we've ever seen.
Yeah. Listen, I realize that Florida has underachieved this season. I realize that their record against FBS opponents going back the last like 10 or 12 games is something awful. Like 2-8, I think, in their last 10 FBS games. Like, it's bad. Yeah. I get it. It's bad. You're losing to Kentucky, stuff that you've never done before. All that being said, Roddy Jones, I don't know who Scott Strickland, the athletic director, thinks he's going to get to come in. I mean, the names have already started flowing, and guess what? It's the same names that are being linked to Southern Cal and LSU. Yeah, it's the same.
And that's
Luke
the other
Fickell.
Thing. Like, it's just a lazy like roll them out.
Sure, it is. But I mean, listen. Unlike LSU, Florida is not recently removed from a national championship. It's been a while. Okay.
What are people going to do when Matt Campbell takes a job and they can't put him on all these lists?
Matt Campbell is a name that's being linked to the Florida vacancy. So too is James Franklin. So too is Luke Fickell. I mean, it's the same names. So here's the thing. Zoom out from Florida for a little bit. I don't think there's enough coaches to go around here, man. Like, you're talking about Southern Cal, LSU, Florida. Okay, top-tier jobs. Then right below that, Washington, TCU, Virginia Tech. Like, where are all these coaches coming from, man? Like, what are we doing? And you know there's going to be more in a couple weeks once we get through the regular season.
So here's what ends up happening if you – and this is why – like, I just got done covering Miami. This is why I caution people about Miami people who are like, fire Manny Diaz, fire Manny Diaz. Well, Miami's in a position to win 8 games this year. With a young quarterback and a young core that is really promising and a look back at the season, like not even a microscopic look, just like a quick glance back at the season – you're going to see a Florida State game where they lost, obviously, late. They had Florida State in 4th-and-14 and couldn't get off the field, and they lost. Now, is that a situation where you can say Manny Diaz can't coach, you should stop him on 4th-and-14? Sure. But it's also a situation where I say if Jordan Travis doesn't make a perfect throw in that situation, Miami wins that game. You go back and you look at Virginia, missed field off the upright to end the game. If Andres Borregales makes that kick, like literally all you have to change in that game is the kick, Miami wins that game. And then the UNC game, and I'm not saying like it was a different situation because they were going for the tie at that point, but they're in field goal range, ball gets batted in the air on a slant, on a quick pass. It ricochets into the hands of another UNC player. And so like you talk about overreactions with Florida, Miami is fighting the same thing in my opinion. And once you enter this market, as you said, look at all the jobs that are open, okay? You've got the ones that you mentioned at the top tier, the ones that you mentioned at the second tier, and then there's going to be a either second tier or tertiary market that happens because guys move. You're going to end up with a market where you are having to overpay because these same coaches that are on every list, it's going to be a bidding war. How many resources can you give me? What kind of leverage can you give me from a year standpoint? I want you to fully guarantee my buyout. Like these schools are going to be locked in, and they're bringing in people by and large that are unknown commodities. Because Scott Frost was a perfect hire for Nebraska. Justin Fuente was a perfect hire for Virginia Tech. Like those were home runs. They were the guys going to situations where you felt like there's nobody in the country that fits better here. And neither one of them have worked out. Justin Fuente's gone. Scott Frost has to agree to a renegotiated contract just to get one more year because he's one of them.
Yeah.
So, like, you're jumping into these things. And you can even, like, I read these lists and people are like, oh, man, I'm so excited about such and such. And in most cases, none of these people have won anything. As good as Billy Napier's been, he's 31-5 at Louisiana. What's he won? Nothing.
Yeah, he hasn't even won a Sun Belt crown.
He's won that side of the division one time.
Right.
They lost to App State over and over in the championship game. Didn't get to play Coastal in the championship game last year. Maybe they win this year. But, like, Mario Cristobal, like, people want Mario Cristobal. Do I think Mario Cristobal is a good coach? Sure. He just took the most talented team in the Pac-12 to Salt Lake City and left with an ass whooping. The most talented team in the Pac-12. And you know what? That's not a one-off.
By the way, it's not. Mario Cristobal, you're not helping yourself when you punt to that dude with 7 seconds to go at the end of the half. Just kick it out of bounds, bro. Yeah.
The only thing I know that Billy Napier has won before, and that's a pink slip from Dabo Sweeney's worst football team ever.
Wow. Way to dunk on him, sir.
He don't fire coordinators. He fired Kevin Steele.
That brings me to Lane Kiffin, the guy who's had every job in the country, it seems like, and high profile after high profile. Like, did Lane win anything at USC? He won a Pac-12?
No.
Hell no.
He certainly didn't win a national championship. He didn't win a damn thing with the Raiders. I'm not saying Lane Kiffin's a bad coach, but, like, you can't bring in Lane Kiffin like he's the savior of your program. The dude hasn't won anything. Here's the thing. There's one Saban, there's one Dabo, and Kirby Smart's inching himself into that conversation. Inching. But he's making his way there. So what, there's three guys? Like, there's one Ryan Day, who, again, like, recruits his ass off. And I'll throw Lincoln Riley in that conversation, too. So there's five guys that, like, if you can get them, absolutely fire whoever you have and bring them in. The rest, they're all crapshoots, man. They're all crapshoots.
I just, you know, again, for me, am I surprised by the news that Florida did this on Sunday? Not really. I just don't agree with it. I think you're this is like a Florida fan making the call. And
how much do you think it's the on the field? How much do you think it's the stuff that he said and his demeanor?
Oh, we have this expression in the Hartzell family, and we've already earned the E, so I'll go ahead and say it here. You ever heard of the expression, there's too much shit in the punch bowl? You know how a punch bowl works? No. You got the big ladle, and you're taking the punch, and you're from the big bowl, and you're putting it in the cup. Well, imagine if that's filled with human excrement. It's kind of hard to get to the punch, right? Like,
I've never wanted to imagine my punch bowl having poop in it.
Well, I mean, it's not a literal image, but you understand.
You just told me to imagine it, and I did.
I think,
and now I wish I hadn't.
But I think that is a description that sums up, like, this Dan Mullen era, which is, you know, ended in Gainesville. Because, yeah, the guy was a part of national championship winning staffs. I mean, he was the OC. It was Tebow. It was Chris Leak. Like, all that good stuff. But then coming back as a head coach, you know, the recruiting wasn't there. You look at last year's team. Those weren't Mullen's guys. He didn't recruit Kyle Pitts. He didn't recruit Kadarius Toney or Kyle Trask. Like, those weren't his guys. So, look, it's an interesting legacy. It's one that's over. I think Dan Mullen did some very good things for that program. You know, a couple of New Year's Six Bowls, an 11-2 season, a spot in the SEC championship game. He beat Georgia. But I think the Georgia monster that's cooking right now up in Athens and for the next 2 weeks in your hometown, Roddy Jones, of the ATL.
I don't want to talk about it.
I think that is driving this decision, in addition to the fact that a Florida team that shouldn't be losing to Kentucky and Missouri is. And here we are.
And I think if you put any one of those things in a vacuum, then he probably doesn't get fired. He certainly doesn't get fired. But the recruiting thing, like, that conference is, I don't know if 100% is the right characterization, but 80% about recruiting, right? Like, more than any conference across the country, that conference is about recruiting. I mean, you can look at the Big Ten, and yes, Ohio State is better than everybody else because of recruits. Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State to some extent, but, like, Northwestern wins the West in the Big Ten. like that happens, and they're not going to at the top of the recruiting rating at recruiting ratings.
Sure.
Iowa State makes the Big 12 championship game. They're not at the top of the recruiting ratings. The Pac-12 and the ACC, like, okay, get out of here with that, because look at what most of the league is in those conferences. By the way, you've got Pittsburgh, who's never hasn't probably sniffed the top 30 in recruiting rankings in the ACC championship game as a worthy contestant, by the way. And then on the other side, you're probably going to have Wake Forest that's likely in the 60s. In the SEC, you have to recruit to win in that conference.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, and it's not being top 10 in recruiting, because Florida was like number seven in the country in recruiting one year, and it was sixth best in the SEC. But you have to be relative to your peers recruiting well, which probably means top five classes just about every year, just so you are close to Alabama and Georgia, who are consistently up there, LSU consistently up there, and that's just to be good in with the people that you play every year.
Yeah.
Well, you don't play Alabama every year, but Georgia and LSU?
Yeah, every year. Auburn, just about every year. I mean, it's look, I don't want to turn this into a Florida Gators talk show, but I just that news on Sunday when I saw it come across the phone, I was like, wow.
Were you surprised?
Yes, I was. Okay. Not because I didn't think things were bad there. Things are bad. But the dude signed an extension 6 months ago.
You know that stuff doesn't matter, man.
I understand.
The question that always matters is how much does the buyout increase?
Yeah, look.
Because the whole 10-year, $95 million thing with Mel Tucker, my entire question was, hope he got that signed before the Ohio State game. That was the first thing. And then the second thing was, okay, how much more is the buyout? Because right. of the buyout's not more, does not matter one bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, body of work, right? Like 34-15. In four seasons. That's not spectacular.
And this is the conversation that we've had over and over. I think over and over. But like Florida, what are the expectations for a head coach at Florida?
I mean, they are still championships, both of the
what
SEC
kind of championship?
And national variety. Yeah.
There we go. And if you are not getting any closer to a national championship at the University of Florida, from a recruiting standpoint, honestly, then you got to get the hell out of here, especially if you're losing.
Okay.
Like if you're winning and you're doing less with, and you're doing more with less, then it's like, oh, sure, that's cute, but why are we being cute? We're Florida.
Yeah.
I remember the days when Florida got the number one player in the country out of Virginia in Percy Harvin. Like, that was Florida. That was what they did.
I understand everything you're saying, and that's why the job of an athletic director is as high paying and challenging as it is, because they're the ones responsible for making that call, and Scott Strickland's made that call. But my thing is, if you're Florida, you're about to be on your fourth head coach in 8 years.
Why does that matter, though?
Because you keep looking for the guy who's supposed to take you somewhere. You got pretty close last year. Like clearly. There wasn't enough capital built up for Dan Mullen to survive a season like this, and so he's out. But my thing is, and I know there's no way of knowing this right now. I don't know what Scott Strickland's playbook is. I don't know who he's bringing in. Like, if you can find a way to get Lincoln Riley to come to Gainesville, yeah, you made the right call. But I just think this is a tough. I don't know. I just this is a tough sell for me as somebody who, you know,
you think
occasionally
Lincoln Riley would jump ship in conference?
Hell no. But I'm just saying, like, that's like maybe you've got an NFL guy. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, the Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain hires, like, that set this program back. Mullen was actually in the process of recouping those losses.
Muschamp recruited pretty well, though.
He did, but that was part of a more cultural thing with Florida fans who were like, yeah, we're not scoring enough. Yeah. Like, this isn't how we're supposed to win. So look, it is what it is. Add another vacancy to a growing list of big time jobs in college football that need a head coach. And
the consensus is like what you said at the beginning, like who gets all these jobs? There's a lot of jobs, man. Somebody's got to be sitting there.
Yeah. By the way, no disrespect. Akron is still open. FIU is still open. And Troy opened up over the weekend. Chip Lindsey, he gone. And Washington State. Don't want to forget about our friends in Pullman, who mathematically still have a shot at winning the Pac-12 North if
results
go their way.
What needs to happen?
Okay, so I'm going to have to pull up the John Wilner tweet. It involves Oregon State beating Oregon, which is something that hasn't happened in a while. Washington State beating Washington, which hasn't happened in forever. And if that happens, the third tiebreaker is like head-to-head, and Washington State beat Oregon State. So they'd go.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Let's see how likely that is. You said it hasn't happened in a while.
Are you pulling up the FBI report?
The old, what they used to call Civil War. Oregon State beat Oregon last year, bro.
No way.
Yeah, 41-38 in Corvallis.
No
way. November 27th, 2020.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Dude, now, that,
it probably happened after dark.
Completely slipped my mind.
It probably happened after dark and in 2020 and in a league that nobody pays attention to. But yeah, it happened.
Wow. You're
right.
I'm
sorry, Pac-12 fans. I'm sorry, Pac-12 fans.
Wow. You're right. I'm sorry. No, that's on me. I need to do better. I need to be way better.
Yeah.
My history from last year is still a little hazy because that was just such a bizarre season. Okay.
Washington State has not beaten Washington since 2012. So you were 1-for-2 on that one.
Yeah. Cougs can win the North if Washington State beats Washington and the Beavs beat the Ducks.
That's not very complicated.
Let's use this as a way to segue into what happened on the field this Saturday, shall we? I think you touched on it earlier. We were talking about Mario Cristobal. Ducks go to Salt Lake City and get just blown apart. It was 28-0 at halftime, and it was never close. It was never competitive. And you can close the book once again, Roddy Jones, on there being a Pac-12 representative in the CFP. What'd you make of that one?
Welcome to the club, Pac-12. You guys were late getting here. Like, I thought back in week 7 when the ACC, when did the Deeks play and they lost? I thought back then, like, we'd be joined by the Pac-12 shortly thereafter. It took you a while to get here, Pac-12, but welcome back. We've been saving your seat. We didn't sit in it. ACC, we pulled up a chair. The Pac-12, you guys got your name on the seat on the line outside the club of the college football playoff. We had to introduce ourselves to the bouncer out here. Like, hey, man, we're the ACC. We're usually in there, but we're on the outside looking in now. How does this thing work? But Pac-12, now you can walk us through exactly how things are going. That was rude of me. I shouldn't have done that.
It was not nice. Yeah, it was not nice. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That's the state of affairs out west because the Ducks got smoked.
Well, here's the thing, man. Coming into the game, you know, occasionally they let me talk some
duck.
You ever smoked a duck, Serbs?
Yeah, sounds delicious. No, I haven't.
Me
sounds
either.
Really good, though.
Smoked something that they called a duck once, but it wasn't.
Please.
It was like shaped like a duck.
Please.
What?
Yo, bro, you want to hit this duck? Sure, man.
This is a really explicit episode.
What do you mean? I didn't say anything wrong. Like,
in a window. That's how you get like a TV 14 rating.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get the E, though. That wouldn't get us the E. So occasionally they let me talk about the Pac-12.
Where? Yeah, who let you do that?
SportsCenter did. So they're like, hey, like, what do you think the key is for Oregon to pull off the upset? Because remember, they were an underdog.
They were a road underdog, correct.
And the thing that people don't realize or did not realize is that since Utah has gone to Cam Rising, not immediately, but really since the USC game, they've been the best offense in the Pac-12, and it really hasn't been close. Like, statistically, visually, what they've been able to do with Cam Rising, his running ability, obviously his ability through the air too, has been really good. The other thing is Tavion Thomas is a really good back that as a transfer looked like he just needed to get comfortable in the offense. So and then the last part, they have been incredible on third downs, particularly on third and shorts. And so, like, for Oregon to have success in this game, they were going to have to get Utah consistently in third and longs, and then they were going to have to stop Utah, who was really good on third downs and especially good on third and short. Well, on the first drive, they did it. They got off on a 3rd and 15 on the first drive. Had that, and I, you know, you see that and you're like, okay, cool. Like, this is it for Utah. Like, I mean, this is it for Oregon. This is what they need to do. And then on the second drive, third and six, Cam Rising runs for 8 yards. Like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, one is fine. Third and six again. Cam Rising runs for 7 yards. Like, oh, is this a thing? Is this a thing that's going to happen again? Then you get a third and short. Then you get a third and nine from the 10. Tavion Thomas in the end zone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I'm on the edge of my seat thinking, this is going to be a problem for Oregon if they can't figure it out. And they really didn't. So I give a lot of credit for Utah being able to run the football. I mean, ran the ball for 208 yards. And then they stopped the run on the other side and made Anthony Brown beat him. And Anthony Brown was who he was. So Utah dominated it. Like, you know, sure, put Oregon at number three in your polls and everybody, you know, they are clearly better than Ohio State. Nice job, committee. What you saw this weekend is what everybody's known all along.
Yeah.
From both Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. Now, in terms of outside the Pac-12, what stood out the most from the weekend in your book, Roddy? Because, I mean, you had a couple of phenomenal quarterbacking performances, one at the Horseshoe, one in Tuscaloosa. We don't talk a ton of Heisman on this show just because it's – I mean, it's tired. I mean,
I know we don't. I won't belabor this, but do either of those guys feel like a Heisman Trophy winner to you?
No one does. Just save it. Like, just shelve it for the year. Wayne is a Heisman voter, so we'll talk to him later in the week. Yeah.
I would argue Kenny Pickett feels like a Heisman Trophy winner because he has taken a team that without him would not be what they are. And he has taken them to a place where they have a chance to win a conference championship.
Yeah.
That, to me, feels like a Heisman Trophy winner. Like C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, I feel like I could plug just about any other quarterback who's in the conversation onto those teams, and they would do the exact same thing. You know why? Because the quarterbacks at those schools do the same things every year. And we used to say that about Oklahoma, and they're not there. So maybe we shouldn't completely take it for granted. But, like, If one of the backups at Ohio State was starting for Ohio State, we're having the same conversation, right?
I mean, look, that's fair. I'm not going to disagree with anything you said there about Kenny Pickett or the fact that you've got interchangeable parts at quarterback. But that being said, the numbers from Saturday were pretty staggering. I mean,
yes,
those were amazing.
Because look at who C.J. Stroud is throwing to,
yeah,
and look at who C.J. Stroud is throwing against.
I mean, are we at a place, by the way, C.J. Stroud, 32 of 35, 432, it's six tutties, 17 straight completions at one point. That was a program record. That was a noon game. So Stroud goes out and does his thing, and then later on at the 3:30 window, Bryce Young's like calling Rays, 31 of 40, 559, and five touchdowns for the Alabama quarterback. Those are the most yards in the history of the Crimson Tide program. Let me just say this. Are we at a place where it's a matter of we want to see Ohio State's offense against Georgia's defense and everything else can just get out the way?
No, I think Alabama would have something to say about it. Like, I think Alabama would put up points against Ohio State's defense. Like, that'd be fun to watch. And while I don't think Alabama's defense is as good as Ohio State's, getting to see them against Georgia, I'm all for that. Like, yeah, bring me that. Bring me that. Now, the advantage that Ohio State has is they got one, two, three, four, maybe five first-round picks on that offense. I don't think Alabama has that many.
Sure.
Well, they may. See, Williams, Neal, they don't have anybody at running back. I don't think John Menchie's a first-rounder. Yeah, they probably have three or four. But, like, Ohio State, like, all three receivers are first-round picks. Two of them this year, one of them next year. The running back's a first-round pick. C.J. Stroud's probably a first-round pick. And the linemen, two of the linemen are definitely draft picks. So they're not first-rounders, but they're probably second-day guys.
I don't know how to evaluate an offensive line other than just what I'm seeing.
I read.
But a lot of folks, yeah, I read, too. A lot of people believe that the Buckeyes might have the best O-line unit in the country. So, you know, if you're looking –
they have not played like it all the time this year, but at times they have been maulers, man. They've
sure
been maulers.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, look, the playoff rankings are going to come out on Tuesday. We're actually going to be doing our CSN probably before those come out. So I mean, are you prepared to see Cincinnati at four, or you think we're going to get the Wolverines up there instead?
No, I think you're going to get Cincinnati at probably, yeah, you're going to get them at four. Yeah, I think Cincinnati's at four. Because Cincinnati was, look, I have been as critical of Cincinnati as anybody, I think, on this podcast.
Yes,
like,
you have.
You do the shows with everybody. Yeah, like, I've been the one that's been poo-pooing on Cincinnati.
You've been a hater, yeah, for sure.
I've not been a hater. I've been the only one that's been freaking realistic about what they've looked like. Like, everybody has been anointing this team as, like, they deserve to be in the top four. No, we've already earned the East, so I'm going to say it. They've looked like shit the last month. This past weekend, they did not. They looked great. Now, had they looked like that the whole way? Absolutely, sure. Put Cincinnati, put them up there. Like, yes, but they did not deserve it based on how they looked on the field. So, they have now looked like that. And that team looks like a team that in a year where nobody wants to win all their games or even the majority of them or even play consistently, sure, put that team in the playoff, let them get blasted by Georgia or Ohio State or Alabama or whoever else is in the playoff because they're going to get blasted by everybody who makes it. Maybe other than Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's probably going to get in at this point. Although, Notre Dame playing a lot better as of late.
Notre Dame's going to get in what? Notre Dame's going to get in what,
College football playoff.
How?
Playoff. What do you mean how?
I'm just, how?
Okay, let me go.
I mean, they're going to win out. Okay, they got Stanford coming up on Saturday. Lottie frickin' da. Is Cincinnati going to lose? Or? Yeah.
Oh, Cincinnati very well could lose.
To
okay,
who?
So here's
Houston?
The
Houston? ECU? Yeah.
Cincinnati ain't got to lose.
Definitely not ECU.
Why ECU, do they have to lose?
You
get in here,
you
Serbs.
You
come on.
Poo-poo.
I'm just
hold
saying,
on, hold
why
on,
does
hold
Cincinnati
on. You poo-poo
lose?
On ECU.
Already...
ECU is bowl eligible.
Yeah, I know what ECU's bringing. They got they host Cincinnati on Friday night. I know.
It doesn't matter. Like, Cincy can win all their games. They're not going to the freaking playoff.
I would disagree because you're going to run out of teams very quickly. Here's the
no,
path.
No, you're
for,
not.
For, here's
of
the
Notre
path.
Dame.
Here's
they're going to
the
put even though
Notre
there's
Dame.
A head-to-head there, they'll put Notre Dame in over. Cincy all day long.
Boy, that'd be
I don't think so,
bloody.
Because Cincinnati will be a conference champion, and that means something. As much as people like to forget the
a
fact
a group
that,
of
like,
five conference champions.
Doesn't matter. Conference championships mean
it
something.
Does matter.
It doesn't, no.
Bang
it
that gavel,
specify.
Roddy. Bang that gavel, man. You're the chairman here.
It doesn't specify group of five, power five conference championship. Plus, Houston will be ranked. So it's not only a conference championship, it's a win over ranked opponent, which at the end of the year, like Notre Dame – how many will they have? Purdue's out, so they don't have that. They'll have Wisconsin. Who else have they beaten that's ranked? Oh, wait.
That's it.
Yeah. Which means they'll have as many, like outside of the head-to-head, Cincinnati would have as many. They would have a conference championship. Notre Dame is not leapfrogging Cincinnati. However, let me go back to my scenario, okay? So last week's rankings, Georgia 1, Bama 2, Oregon 3, Ohio State 4, Cincinnati 5, Michigan 6, Michigan State 7, Notre Dame 8. So let's look in front of Notre Dame and behind. Georgia and Alabama are going to play. Okay, let's start this way, okay? Oregon already lost, so that moves Cincinnati from 8 to at least 7. Michigan State got blasted, so so now Notre Dame's at 6, okay? Who's in front of them? Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio State, Bama, Georgia. Oh, Ohio State, Michigan play each other.
Bang,
boom,
bang.
One of them is out.
Bang,
one
bang.
Of them is out. So now Notre Dame's at 5. The only thing you now need to happen is Alabama to lose and Oklahoma State not to win the Big 12, and you have no choice but to put Notre Dame in. You have no choice because then you're looking at a two-loss Baylor team behind them that's not a conference champ. Like, does Oklahoma come from 13 and vault up above them? That'd be a hell of an ascent.
If Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State twice, yeah, maybe.
Maybe, but like, we've never seen a team go from 13 to 4 with 2 weeks left and 3 games left. That'd be wild, man. So like, the path for Notre Dame is there. We need to start coming to terms with the fact that, like, Notre Dame might be in this thing.
I'm not ready.
Playing Georgia in the first round of the college football
playoff. I am not ready to do that yet. I'm not. I do think the path is...
By the way,
the path is paved in gold for Cincy, though. I do think that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That situation would put Georgia versus Notre Dame and Ohio State versus Cincinnati, literally for the state of Ohio.
Ugh.
And golly, Ohio State would hang 8,000 points on Cincinnati. Oh, my God. Oh, if Ohio State could score 100 in that game, I think they would.
I thought Ohio State was Ohio State could have scored 100 on Saturday if they wanted to.
Correct.
By the way,
but in a game where like Cincinnati little brother, like literal little brother, not even like the little brother that they Michigan is like little brother. This is like littlest of the little. This is little stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
Like your mom got remarried and had a kid that's like 20 years younger than you. That's Cincinnati to Ohio State. They don't even think about them. They're gonna they're in the same state as us and we're playing them in the college ball playoff. Oh. Chris, Garrett, Jackson, like, let's go. Let's show these boys. Travion, you can come too. CJ, let's go win this Heisman. Let's go win this Heisman. Like, let's get it done. Or the Heisman would have already been announced by then.
Massive
offensive line. Y'all ready to go? Like, let's roll these boys. Because they think them DBs, they said they got the best corners in the country.
Hey, listen, it was nice to see Cincinnati stand up for a change. It had been about 6 weeks since we had seen Cincinnati actually go out and handle their business, and they did. I mean, they blanked SMU for three quarters, and they
Which
they
is impressive. Like, SMU's got a really good offense.
Yeah, it was good to see.
It was impressive to see. You are correct.
Now, you touched on it. I'm not poo-pooing ECU at all. That is a much improved football team. Under Mike
because
Houston.
One does not simply do what into Dowdy Ficklin.
You don't just stroll in that joint.
You're damn right.
I'm hearing it's going to be. I'm hearing blackout too. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a blackout Friday at Dowdy Ficklin.
Blackout conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm just saying. Do you want to talk about like normally this is like a recap show because you're early in the week, Roddy. We don't get a ton of time to like look ahead to the Saturday games just because of where you're placed. On the schedule, I would like to
and
spend.
You never make your picks and all this stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm happy.
We're not going to talk about Clemson Wake because Serber, like, I am giving Serber the floor to completely just stunt, dance all over me because we went head to head on this thing and blah, whoo, buddy, took some humble pie.
Yeah, I was correct in my assessment. I feel pretty good about it. Felt pretty good watching Clemson actually look. Like the team I've been watching for the past several years.
Can I say Saturday. Something that may be a hot take?
It was awesome.
Poorly officiated?
Poorly officiated. I mean, look.
Stop. I cannot. I cannot.
Didn't matter in the game.
Hang on a second. When they're calling it left and right, people are like, "Let them play." When they let them play, people are like, "That's PI."
It's well, when the guy jumps over the other guy's
you're all
back,
so stupid, and I
when
hate
he jumps
you so
over
much.
The other guy's back on the initial drive, like that should be called. I am not here for like flag, flag, flag. I am here early on, like early in a game when you jump over a dude's back, you got to call that so that you establish like that right there is pass interference, and the rest of the day everyone knows that that is pass interference. Now the rest of it, like. Down the line, okay, once we've established that you're just going to let him play, then I guess we can just, you know, whatever. But look, honestly, it didn't matter in the game. They couldn't protect Sam Hartman.
I've heard way too much jilted fan over the past, every time Clemson wins a game over someone. The refs, I can't anymore. Like, people don't watch football.
Two things can be true at once. It can be both poorly officiated and it can have not mattered in the result of the game.
Oh.
Like, you could have given Wake those pass interference calls and it wouldn't have mattered. You know why? Because
Sam Hartman
was
still been on
Clemson
his ass.
Up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's just say it. Sam Hartman hasn't been the same quarterback since he got the haircut. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that.
It's like a weird mullet sort of deal.
It's an awful
look.
He was
playing much better when he looked like he should have been on The Bachelor.
Yeah, when he had the beard and he had the flow, and then he cut it all off. And, you know, like, is it Samson or Delilah? Who was the one who got their hair cut? Was it Samson, right? And then they lost their strength?
Yeah, Delilah cut Samson's hair.
I just know about the song. I don't thank you for clearing that up for me.
What song are you referring to? The Regina Spektor deal?
Samson and Delilah.
Oh, I thought you were going, "Hey there, Delilah."
No, I don't know that one.
Hey
anyway,
there, Delilah,
yes.
Like in New York City, and
Samson went back to bed, not too much hair left on his head.
Got
it.
So
pretty,
yes,
you do.
Got it.
Hey there, Delilah, and it's true. Oh, it's what you do to me.
Oh wow! Yikes! I thought my singing was bad.
I wasn't even trying. I was trying to get you to.
I know you sounded like
sorry.
You sounded like me.
Sorry.
so glad we don't do the show in studio anymore so that you can't dig up that archive.
I'm pretty sure it's a hotkey.
It's not a hotkey. No
I'm
way,
pretty
bro.
Sure I saved it.
I've scrubbed
bad.
It. I've actually scrubbed it. You can't find it. It's gone.
All right, back to football. Here's my hot take. This version of Clemson's the best team in the ACC, and it's not close.
Okay, but why did we have to wait until week 11 to get it?
Because they suck on offense, and they were finally average. Like that, what we saw the other day was an average offense.
Yeah, they started
with a dominant
Sweeney,
defensive
finally.
Performance that consistently gave them opportunities. What did you say?
They started Will Sweeney, finally. The game breaker at wide receiver on the boundary. You saw him, Roddy. You saw what he was doing. Stunting on fools.
I will give my man
Dude,
server
they had
credit.
Nobody
scored
else
a touchdown
to
last week against UConn. The Sweeney era is here, baby.
They had nobody else to start at receiver other than Dabo's son.
I know. It was bad. Like that, someone texted me, a Wake fan texted me on Saturday, and they were like, one, Sam Wake has played like crap. Two, the refs aren't giving it to us or whatever. And I was just like, one, Clemson started Will Sweeney at wide receiver. Two, nothing else matters. You're getting beat
yes,
by a team whose starting boundary receiver was the holder.
Yep. Yep. That is correct. He's like bargain bin. I mean, this is no offense to Will Sweeney. I think he's a really good kid. I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times, find him really engaging. But he's like dollar store Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Dollar Tree, not Dollar General. Dollar yeah. Tree.
Dang, man. Just like keep knocking him down the pegs, man.
Oh, like Will Sweeney is what he is, bro.
He's 5'8", 100 and nothing. Like he's
exactly
tiny.
starting for Clemson.
You're 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, very Rudy.
Okay, how many catches did Clemson receivers have in the game? Just I want you guys to venture a guess.
This is not a box score show, Roddy. 20.
No, it wasn't that many because I only remember Bo Collins catching a couple.
Bo Collins had 4 for 137.
Yeah, he had a hell of a game, but like,
oh, yikes! I'm looking at the number.
Were you gonna guess?
Is it 12?
12. 12 receptions for the Clemson receivers. And, like, it was one of DJ's best performances. I mean, he was god-awful at times. But, like, through some nice pass, we were like, wow, okay, we're getting more of that with the god-awful. So, like, again, this was an average offense. They actually ran the ball really well, especially Kobe Pace. It happened. This is Wake's worst nightmare. Like, facing Clemson, particularly at home, facing Clemson is Wake's worst nightmare, even when they're good, because even when they are the best version of themselves, they are so severely outmatched in the trenches that it nullifies anything that they have. Because I think skill position-wise, like if you went skill position player for skill position player, Clemson still has the edge, but it's pretty slight, especially when Wake's on offense. But on the offensive and defensive lines for Clemson demolished Wake Forest. And look, there's been a lot of talk around Dave Clawson moving. I am not a fan of telling a coach to go or even insinuating that he should go or stay. But if Dave Clawson leaves, in my opinion, this game is exactly why. Because even when you are the best version of yourself, you can't compete because you just can't get the guys at the right position to even give you a chance in the football game.
I mean, this was all about Clemson's defensive line. Those guys were living in the backfield.
Yeah,
all day.
5 sacks in the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is it's what I've been hearing all year about the way to stop Wake Forest's offense. Like the way that you counteract what Clawson loves to do is have a dominant defensive line of scrimmage. And sure enough, it took until week 11, but that's exactly what happened on Saturday. So shout out to Clemson. They showed up. They hung 48. And now Wake Forest has to win in Chestnut Hill if they want to go to the ACC Championship. Wake on the road at Boston College this
weekend.
We've
got some head-to-head action.
And we've got head-to-head action.
Clemson versus Cerber.
We've got steaks on the line. Actual
steaks.
Meat. Like yes. Real steak.
Steaks.
Yeah.
Good meat. Love it.
And this is straight up, or do I need to give you 5? Because that's the line.
Nope. Straight up. Wow. BC, baby. I even said UNC. I doubled down on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So steak and baked potato. There you go.
Wow.
Love a good baked potato, man. Not going to lie. Love it. Little chives, little bacon.
Only eat a baked potato? Like for dinner?
What?
Like, sometimes I just eat a baked potato. No.
You throw it in the microwave?
Well, no. I bake it in the oven, and then I load it up, but then I don't, like, have, like, that's my single course.
I respect that. You ever go salt on the skin? You ever get a little salted on the skin?
You have to.
Yeah, I do olive oil and sea salt when I wrap it in the foil.
Yeah, got to. Yeah.
Oh, you wrap it. See, I don't wrap it in the foil. I go straight, you know, you put the foil underneath, like on the rack right below it, and you go straight on the rack, and you get that cripsy skin.
I've heard that strategy posited by many as like the only way to
love
do
that.
It. So respect. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm never going to judge you for the way you do it. Like, I'm not eating your food, so, like, I don't care how you do
it.
Well,
also, like, 90% of probably the baked potato eating world wraps it in foil. Like, you go to a restaurant, in foil.
A lot of people, yeah, it's true. A lot of
people
will wrap
it
in
that way.
A lot of people, you know, the lazier ones, and I won't say I've been against this, you wrap it in saran wrap and you put it in the microwave.
Yeah, I can't do microwave baked potato just because I know how much better it would be if I just had the patience to
completely
cook it for an
agree.
Hour.
What are the fixings that you go with on the baked potato, by the way?
Sour cream, cheddar cheese, salt and pepper, and bacon bits.
What about butter?
No chives?
Well, yeah, butter as well. Sorry, I forgot butter. Yes, butter.
Chives?
No chives. I don't like onions. Oh. I don't mind chives.
Chive big chive guy.
Like a green onion, I don't mind.
You know, we'll toss
mind, but like white onions I don't like, so chives are like, they're a step away from that. And that is
very fair. Love it. Love a chive and a baked potato. We toss in some of that horseradish. Buddy.
Really?
That thing be popping.
Dang.
Popping.
Man. Popping.
That's not my style, but I respect the hell out of it.
Sometimes you get a little ranch in there. Popping.
It is Thanksgiving week. I would like to close the show with some food talk. I do want to know what you're most looking forward to throwing down this weekend. But can we talk ball before we get there?
Yeah, we can
bookend the show with some food.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's rivalry weekend, bro. You know what? Let's just start with clean old-fashioned hate. Let's just get it out of the way right now. I knew that Georgia Tech's last 2 weeks of the regular season, Roddy, were going to be tough because they had to go to South Bend and then host Georgia. I didn't think that it was going to be a 55-0 kind of game Saturday in South Bend. Like, that's how you want to get ready for the Dogs? Hanging up double nickels in South Bend? I mean, bro. By the way, have you seen the line for Georgia coming to town? Have you seen the line? Because it ain't big enough.
Trying not to hyperventilate here.
Yeah, are you focusing on your breathing?
I am.
I mean, I know Notre Dame was always fired up for the Rudy game. Anytime you got the Jackets coming to town, you're 5'0", 100-0. I mean, it was Rudy game Saturday, but double nickels? I mean, guys.
Just trying to breathe. I'm going to hyperventilate. Steven,
Roddy,
I feel
it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I feel like I'm approaching a roller coaster and I...
Are the walls starting to get a little closer? I mean,
it's closing in. I'm starting to sweat. I'm really scared, Steven.
Roddy,
really
we're
scared.
Here. We're okay. Here. We're
okay.
Here.
I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
It's going to be all right. It's not your fault.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Steven. Man, I don't feel good about anything that's going to happen on Saturday. I really don't. And look, the line's 35. And I'm going to go ahead and Stradamus is taking the Dogs.
Come on. Don't do that. Don't overreact. Don't overreact here. We're just talking games.
Do it, Roddy.
What do you mean? Don't overreact. Jeff Sims has been out mysteriously for like 2 weeks. It's his second mysterious disappearance of the season. If Jordan Yates plays, they're not going to score a point. If Jeff Sims plays, we'll score three. And you think the Dogs are going to put up 38?
I think they're gonna get more than that comfortably.
Thank you. Rod Stadamus is taking the Dogs. I'm locking them in at 35. Like, come on, man. What are Tech's chances? It depresses me to say this is what I've been driven to. Georgia Tech's on the precipice of its third straight 3-win season.
Mm-hmm.
Came into the year looking at the schedule. Okay, man, daunting schedule. You had Tech fans talking about, man, we need to make a bowl game this year. And I'm like, whoa, bro, slow your roll, big fella, because you got a schedule that has Georgia at the end, top 5 team, Notre Dame, top 10 team, Miami, top 15 team, North Carolina, top 10 team, Pitt knocking on the door of the top 25, Virginia Tech knocking on the door of the top 25, Boston College knocking on the door of the top 25. Like, this is a daunting schedule. Had it played out like that, I would be very okay with 3 wins. But let's go review this. Clemson, very good defensively. Don't get me wrong. Not a top 25 team. In my book, they are, but have not made the top 25. Carolina, you had to
try
basically a Hail Mary at the end to beat Duke. Virginia is a quote-unquote close loss because they lost by 8. You were down by 20 with like 3 minutes to go in the game. And you took 2 miraculous onside kicks. So credit for getting those onside kicks, but that doesn't show me an improved football team. Virginia Tech, do you want to hit the – do we have the – is that a drop that you were doing there, or was that just you?
That was just
I'm
me.
I'm pressing the button.
It's pretty good, okay, though, wasn't it?
Virginia Tech?
Trash.
There you go. At Miami? Like
trash.
Miami – stop it. Miami's played well under TVD. And Georgia Tech played fairly well.
He's got a nickname
well
now? We're giving TVD? Van Dyke a nickname?
You don't know, bro?
I've seen him play. Yeah, I've seen him play. I didn't know that we had already anointed the guy. Wow, that happens fast down in South Florida.
It's a mouthful to say Tyler Van Dyke, and he's played well enough to get the nickname TVD, baby. And then Boston College, you lose to Notre Dame. You get black, like, it's embarrassing. And then Georgia is going to be like, come on, man.
Here's the good news, man. It's good for concessions. It's good for parking. It's good for all the things that probably need, you know, a financial shot in the arm.
Yeah,
this time of the year.
Georgia fans buy all the tickets, because I've talked to Tech fans and they're like, nah, bruh. Like, I'm not even going to do that to myself. At home. Like, that in the best of times, in 2009, when we were really good, we were better than Georgia that year. We ended up losing, but we were better than Georgia that year. The best of times, it's 60-40.
Oh.
That year, it was 60-40.
I mean, that is peak, and that is an anomaly. That is rare.
That is when we were top 10 in the country, and they needed a win to go to a bowl game.
Yeah.
60% Tech fans.
Well, you're saying 60% Tech fans? You're saying y'all had the majority in 2009.
We had the majority that year. It's the only time in my entire life I've seen it that way.
Wow.
We were top 10. They were struggling to get to a bowl. The stadium was 60-40 Tech. In 11, when we were not top 10 and they were pretty darn good, 60-40 the other way. It's about to be like 80-20.
Yeah, that's been a sliding scale. I mean, this is going to be worse than like the Vandy game every year, or I guess every other year when Georgia plays in Nashville and Dog fans are like, look, man, let's go to Nashville. Let's have a good time. I mean, we'll take over the joint. I mean, this is going to be, yeah, I think 80-20 maybe. It's going to sound like 90-10 Dogs.
For sure.
Like, and visually, it's going to be Sanford Stadium South. It's going to be bad, bro. It's going to be bad.
It is. And look, Georgia Tech is not relevant in the national landscape, so I apologize to people who are bored by this talk. But
They can Jeff find Collins, another show. If you're bored by this talk, go listen to something else. I don't care. This is Roddy Jones, ACC legend, Tech alum. Get out of here.
Like, Jeff Collins is going to have to make some changes. They are so bad defensively. And like, Steven, it'd be one thing if they were like Miami, where you've got a youth movement on defense. You have all these young guys playing all these snaps, and you're making mistakes, turning guys loose. And then you're like, okay, they're making freshman mistakes, but they are talented, and they are going to improve. Like, it's the same guys on defense that I've been watching for the last 4 years. And yes, Jeff Collins has only been there for three. But a lot of these dudes are the same guys. Too many of them are familiar names that you've seen over and over and over, especially the last 3 years. But like multi-year players, and like Michael freaking Mayer is running wide open down the middle of the field at Notre Dame. Michael freaking Mayer.
It's generally a problem. You should probably want to guard him. That guy's like, what, is he like the Mackey Award winner this year?
He's like the best tight end in the country.
Yeah, you might want to put a body on him.
Golly, man. And then there's the whole Jahmyr Gibbs thing. Like,
oh, wasting a generational season?
A generational talent. Like, we've not had a running back like Jahmyr Gibbs.
Since you were there.
And it would be Dwyer.
Yeah.
Like, a guy that you look at and you're like, wow, that dude has the type of talent that could be an NFL player for a long time.
Yeah.
At the running back position. Now, Dwyer wasn't, but that was more his own doing. But in terms of talent, like, you looked at him and you were like, wow, that's a guy that can play anywhere in the country. Jahmyr Gibbs is that, and like, he touches the ball 10 times a game. And it's just like, come on, man, what are we doing?
Well,
so
it's going to be a long Saturday afternoon down in the flats. That's a noon kick for Georgia
it's
Tech.
A quick game.
Georgia at Georgia Tech. Sorry, it's just a slip up. Other games on the slate that you are interested in. Egg Bowl Thursday night. Come on, baby. Give it to me. We haven't seen an Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. Serber, correct me if I'm wrong here, since the Piss and the Miss, correct? It's been 2 years.
Yeah, didn't happen in 2020. It's 2019, yeah.
Here's the thing. Mississippi State is dealing right now. Yeah. These guys are playing some of their best football of the year. Ole Miss is what they are. I mean, they're a top 15 team. I mean, 9-2 Ole Miss, 7-4 Mississippi State in Starkville. Clanga, clanga, let's go, baby. It's going to be a great game. Fired up for this one.
I don't think I've ever heard clanga, clanga before. But
that's
I
the
get
bells. That's like the
I know what you
there?
Were going for. I didn't think you'd go clanga, clanga.
It's pretty good.
Was it?
I thought so. Why not?
Not so sure that it was good. But
hater, Roddy. Hater, bro.
You are.
I mean, listen, I've had a rough day, man.
What flavor haterade is that?
I've been drinking it, man. It's great.
I've been listening to, like, Neil Young and Elliot Smith.
It's the flavor purple.
I've been listening to my sad playlist this morning. I was excited to come on and talk to you gentlemen, talk a little ball.
You want Sad Girl Autumn? You need to get on that Adele.
I'm not ready for that. Like, emotionally.
You need to hit that Taylor Swift, the relaunch of some of those. Like, she took All Too Well and she made it better. 10 minutes long.
I don't want to do this. I really don't. I don't want to do this. I don't think Server does either.
I'm trying to help you in your Sad Girl Autumn, bro.
Server, do you want to do this? Do you want to talk Taylor Swift?
We don't have to talk any more about it.
Okay, very good. Other rivalry games, Roddy, from the weekend. Like, I joked about Florida State. You're doing North Carolina at NC State. Like, we got to talk Michigan, Ohio State, right? Let me just put this out there. Do you believe?
No. Hell
okay.
Here. Do
okay.
I believe?
All right.
When's the last time Michigan beat Ohio State? Like, that's the question.
I should probably have looked that up before the show.
Nope.
That's some vital
don't
show
look it up.
Prep.
Don't look it up. I want you to guess.
I think it's
I want
been.
You to guess.
I think it's like early 2000s, right? Like 03, 04?
It's not quite that long. 2011. But since this millennium began, this century began, the year 2000, year 2000 on, how many times Michigan won?
Twice? Three times?
Nope. Three times. 2000, 2003, and 2011. You want to know what the scores of the past two games have been?
I know that Ohio State has eclipsed 50 and they've eclipsed 60. I'm not great at math, but it's a lot.
56-27 in 2019, 62-39 in 2018. What do you think the score would have been last year?
Well, if you believed Michigan, they had COVID issues. So it would have been like
probably the same.
Yeah, it probably yes, there correct. Yeah, probably the same.
In the last, let's see, since 2011, there's been 1, 2, three one-score games played in this thing. So,
you don't believe? This is at the Big House Saturday.
I don't give a damn.
This has been a phenomenal Michigan football season. Like I that does need to be said. However, if you lose to Michigan State and Ohio State in the same year, I feel like a lot of that goes out the window, man. Like I'm not a Jim Harbaugh hater. Like I'm not saying you need to fire him or anything. If you were going to do that, you had your chance.
Yep.
This season's probably cemented his stay for quite a bit longer, but you get what I'm saying? Like if you're a Michigan fan and you lose to your in-state rival and you know, the Scarlet and Gray who've owned your ass for the last two decades, like, well, sucks to be you. I'm not going to fall for it either, Roddy. Like, I don't think Michigan's going to win, but I do think they're going to be able to hang around.
Do you? Okay, yeah. So what's hang around? Like a 10-point game?
Like, it's a one-score game going into the...
fourth quarter.
I was going to say third quarter. Like, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be an anointment. Like I don't think you're just going to be.
It's not going to be what happened to Michigan State.
It's not a coronation. It's not going to be a coronation.
Right. Right. Oh yeah, I would agree with that.
Problem is with Ohio State. They've been doing the same thing the last couple of years since Ryan Day got there. It's just shallow crosses. Like it's speed.
The problem with Ohio State. Did you watch the game last week?
Oh yeah. No, I watched.
Like, you get any of those three dudes in one-on-one coverage down the field and protect just a little bit, and it's blouses. So Michigan has to get pressure on C.J. Stroud. That's the only thing. Because, again, they've got three dudes where if you get one-on-one down the field, it's blouses.
Over. Yeah, over. It's blouses. Yeah. Deuces. Blouses. Yeah. Yeah, showtime. Okay, so you don't believe in Michigan. Okay, nope, okay. Sure. What about Iron Bowl?
Do I believe in Auburn?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Hell no.
Okay.
Nope.
I mean,
Go
ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No.
No, I was just saying, like Auburn, or excuse me, Alabama the last couple weeks, you know, 7-point win against Arkansas, 1-score win against LSU. I mean, they've been kind of playing with their food a little bit.
Okay. Arkansas sucks and LSU sucks. So, next question.
But that's my point. Alabama on the road, Iron Bowl.
Oh, sorry. You're saying those two teams have held Alabama has played close with... No, Alabama's going to murder Auburn. Like, who's playing quarterback for Auburn? T.J. Finley?
That's correct.
Bro, get out of here. No. Right. Now, if they can run the football, they've got a shot. And Alabama has had issues at times stopping the run. But, like, I don't think Auburn will consistently stop Alabama. And if Auburn has a lead, let's say Auburn has a 14-point lead going into the fourth quarter. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel good about it.
Thank you. Because they blow leads.
Let's go to another one. Let's go to Bedlam.
Okay. This one is the most interesting one to me because it's a tight line. I think Oklahoma State is good, but Oklahoma is always capable of having that performance because they've got a guy who can put it all together. Now, I don't trust Oklahoma. To be honest with you, I trust Oklahoma State's defense more than I trust Oklahoma on offense. So I think Oklahoma State wins the game. The question to me is, can you keep Oklahoma from just exploding? Like that's really it. So I don't know. Like, what do you think of this one? That's another one where it's been some lopsided scores the last couple
years. Yeah, I was going to say, the series history in this one the last 20 years looks a lot like Michigan-Ohio State.
Yeah.
The Pokes have beaten Oklahoma twice in the last 20 years, and for Oklahoma, it's 6 in a row. Look, I've been wrong about Oklahoma State.
But Oklahoma's been the higher-ranked team
every year.
All of those years, yeah. With the exception of 20... Nope, they were higher-ranked that year, too. With the exception of 2011.
Yeah.
Which is was that the Crabtree year? Not Crabtree. The Justin Blackmon year? I believe so.
Listen, I've been wrong about Oklahoma State all year. I just have been. So
which side of this are you on? So I know to jump to the other side.
I'm gonna ride with the home team here. Oklahoma State favored at home. That's probably where I'm leaning.
Okay.
And then we're gonna get it. Well, if Oklahoma State wins, then we get Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. Right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking playoff earlier. Are you – there's no chance that Oklahoma State can make a run at
no,
a spot?
No, there's a chance. There's a chance. Yeah, if Oklahoma State wins out, they're in, my opinion.
What about one-loss Notre Dame that you were touting about a half hour ago on this program?
That's the scenario. You weren't listening to the scenario.
I was listening to the scenario.
Then you would have accounted for the fact that I said Oklahoma State has to lose, can't win the Big 12 as a one-loss team. Because if Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 as a one-loss team, they jump Notre Dame. But otherwise, so yeah, I think Oklahoma State's capable of it. Do you trust them to beat both Oklahoma and Baylor, though, back-to-back weeks?
I don't trust anybody in the Big 12.
Yeah, thank you.
By the way, shout-out to Texas. That's the win streaks reach six. Or losing streak. The losing streak.
Roger's just kind of feeling something about Texas. Do you think Texas wins?
On Saturday?
Yeah, no, well, next season. Yes, on Saturday, bro.
I don't know who Texas is playing, man. I don't keep up with
Kansas State.
I don't keep up with the FCS schedule.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
No, I don't. I have no faith in Texas. I think that team has quit. Yeah, I'm actually going to throw out the Q word there. They're done.
Oh, man.
They're done.
You did it.
Stick a fork in them, baby. They're done. Although Kansas State did disappoint me over the weekend. I had him picked against Baylor. Yeah, Rod Stradamus was on K-State too.
Yep.
Hate to see it. Listen, I think this is the best weekend of college football, and we were deprived of it last year because we didn't get a lot of these non-conference games. Oh, let's do one more. And Serber, turn your mic on. Palmetto Bowl, baby. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Serber's going to be there.
Oh, in person. Going to Columbia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Enemy territory. All I want to do is find Steve Smith. And you're asking yourself right now, who is Steve Smith?
Yes,
you
I am.
You know who Steve Smith is. You just don't know that you know who Steve Smith is.
Okay.
Steve Smith is that old-ass man that blew up on Twitter who's a South Carolina fan with the crazy hair. He looks like a mix of like Bernie Sanders and the bitter beer guy from the 90s Bud Light commercials. Do you know who I'm talking about, Roddy?
Nope.
The face? You haven't seen the face?
I'm texting you right now.
Come on, Roddy. You act like you don't hang out on social media, bro. You're on there all the time, tweeting and retweeting and liking. You haven't seen this cat? You've seen this cat.
Nope.
He looks like
Roddy,
a bald...
I just sent it to the group text.
He looks like a bald version of the dude from Back to the Future, the crazy scientist.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Oh,
he also looks
wow.
like... It, he also looks like the... remember when the wicked... witch or whatever in Snow White is like not beautiful and she's like the witch, the old lady witch thing? That's what he looks like.
Wow. That's
I want to find this guy and take my picture with him because he's my hero.
Unfortunate. Okay. That's fair.
Here's my question. Do you believe?
No.
What about you, Serbs?
Do I believe what?
South Carolina has a chance in this game.
Yeah. I think they do. And the reason I say that is because kind of what you know, Roddy was talking about earlier, Clemson has looked awful all season.
Yeah.
Like, they are capable of playing just a really, really bad football game. Like, they're totally capable of it. We've seen it multiple times this season. They're also capable of playing a really, really good football game because they
you
have
know what?
So many
I take that back.
Great athletes. Yeah,
I think
like,
Clemson
South Carolina has
game.
A shot, right, Roddy?
Yeah, I think Clemson could lose this game. Yeah. I think it's very losable.
Serber, we were kind of joking about this earlier, but like this is the best chance that South Carolina's had in this game in a long time.
Where is South Carolina the best?
Nowhere.
Their defensive line.
And they can run the football. Clemson, now I think Clemson can stop the run, but if their defensive line can control Clemson's very average offensive line and stop Clemson's run, like, hell yeah, South Carolina has a chance.
Right.
Plus, like, which team is playing with more confidence right now? That's a loaded question.
That would be the Chickens.
Consistently throughout the season, yes. But so mentally, I think South Carolina is probably in a better place. New coach, momentum, overachieving this season. They're going – like, that dude has won six games in his first year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's South Kakalaki.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Did you catch his post game? On ESPN?
No. Tears.
No.
Yeah, guy was emotional.
Cried.
And rightfully
Good
so. Like, it is a...
Good for him.
I mean, yeah, like, that program, Spurrier took them places they'd never been before.
Yeah.
Like, I understand Black Magic in the 80s. They had some decent teams. They weren't in the SEC. And they certainly weren't competing for SEC championships, which Spur had them doing every damn year, just about till the end. So they've fallen on really hard times because, like, they thought they'd arrive. They were like, okay. And frankly, they missed out on an opportunity with, you know, Florida being really negligibly mediocre for the past, you know, ever since Urban Meyer left, really. Like, it's only been the dogs to compete with, the dogs in Missouri.
The Dwags.
That's a total missed opportunity for South Carolina. Yeah, I'm twisting the knife a little bit right now because they're the rival of the team I like. But, like, they should have been much better this past decade than they have been.
Well, they kind of were.
And they could make it back. Like, this is the thing. Like, South Carolina, like, and people will laugh at this, and they'll be like, you're crazy. But South Carolina has every right to be competing with Florida and Georgia for the SEC
East. Oh, stop it. No, okay, you've gone
too far. They do. At least
you want to make that argument about
years.
Tennessee, that's fine. I'll allow it. But if you, South Carolina, get the hell out of here.
South Carolina has the money. They have the support.
Everybody has the money. Everybody has the support. Everybody's got the facilities. You know who they don't got? The players. Hell out of here.
They have the recruiting or the heart of South Carolina, a great recruiting state that they do very well in. All they have to do is go into Florida and Georgia and get a couple guys. South Carolina is 100% a great recruiting state.
No, it's not. It's surrounded by Georgia, North Carolina, and very close to Florida. It's not a
South Carolina
great
high school
state.
Football is real deal. I'll take South Carolina high school football over this bobo-ass North Carolina high school football any day of the week.
Oh, my God. Get out.
Can they just be even? They just be the same?
No. Because
they're not.
Every
because
coach
North
in the country
Carolina
is going to tell you.
South Carolina.
Every coach in the country is going to have to go in and recruit, at least in the Southeast. You have to go and recruit Charlotte.
Charlotte, that's it.
You have
to go recruit
Raleigh. What does South Carolina have?
Dog?
What's South Carolina
got
have?
They got Rock Hill. They got Columbia.
The hell
that's
out
it.
Here, man. The hell out of it. I mean, South Carolina's had some really good. South Carolina's had some really good players, but like Clemson wasn't able to build a dynasty off bringing in guys from South Carolina.
Well, they got one. They kind of you know got one started with Daquan Bowers, the number
one
overall.
They weren't able to build a dynasty off bringing in guys from South Carolina. As a matter of fact, as they were building that dynasty, they missed on the two biggest recruits that South Carolina has like ever had in Jadeveon Clowney and Marcus Lattimore. They missed on both of those dudes.
Disrespectful
and you know what they did?
Daquan. That's disrespectful to Daquan putting
Marcus
Lattimore ahead of him.
It is disrespectful to Daquan. I know that it was disrespectful to Daquan because Marcus Lattimore was not ahead of Daquan. But like, Clemson lives off going into Georgia and Florida and getting the best players out of there. You can't live off of South Carolina.
Their heart and soul football. Is South Carolina and the Palmetto State, bro. Look down the roster. The heart and soul is South Carolina.
Yes, because you have to bring in guys from your home state. But you can't build a national championship roster, which is what you have to do in the SEC to compete, as we said earlier, off of South Carolina alone. You got to go to Charlotte.
You can't build a championship roster off any one state.
You got to go to Georgia.
Alone.
Georgia's damn well done it.
Please. They go into Florida and get guys.
Of course they go into Florida and get guys, but they've built a national championship roster off of Georgia.
Please.
1980, bro.
Herschel.
Feels like 1980 this year. It's going to feel a lot like 1980 on Saturday.
I think that's part of what's been contributing.
Stop being like, why are you bringing jackets in? Now you're going to make me mad. Like, that's just rude.
I want to do Rod Stradamus, and I want to talk food before we get out of here.
Okay, I got to go in a little bit.
I know. That's why I'm trying to move this along. You've already given – hang on, real quick.
Server started throwing haymakers.
Real quick. You went 2-5 last week.
You know where Jordan Davis is from? You know where Jordan Davis is from? Charlotte.
I don't know, but he probably never went 2-5 in his
Charlotte.
Entire life. Bet he never went 2-5.
The hell out of there. He probably went 2-5 and making his weight.
Rod Stradamus backed up a 5-1 week 11 with a 2-5 week 12. Okay.
Todd Gurley, Charlotte.
You are 34-39 on the season. 5 games below 500.
Dexter Lawrence.
You can turn it around, Roddy. With some week 13 picks, you've already got Georgia minus 35. Where else are we going?
To tell Serber about all the Charlotte dudes that they have.
Yeah, congratulations, Danny Perriman. You finally figured out how to do it after 10 years.
All right, here we go. So I already got Georgia minus 35. God, it pains me so bad. KJ Henry, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
He's actually from Clemens, North Carolina. Real ones know. West Forsyth High School, raise up.
Oh, raise up. Let's go. Give me Miami minus 21 at Duke.
Hang on a second. I don't think that's the
21 and a half. Minus 21.
Okay,
half.
We're just going to forget about the hook? Unbelievable, Rod. Are you trying to slip that by me? Like, I don't know.
My bad, bro. Hook will get you, dog.
Dirty game, man. Just for that, Duke's going to lose by 21. Just for that. Just because you tried to slip one past me.
That's tough.
Last game the Coach Cut will have in Durham? What do we think?
The starting boundary receiver for Clemson last week was from South Carolina. Yeah, it's probably Coach Cut's last game. Give me Kansas State plus 2 at Texas.
Now we're talking.
Yep, now we're talking. Next one. Ohio State minus 8 at Michigan.
That line's been climbing. I think you're smart to get it now.
Damn right. Give me Virginia Tech plus 7.5 at Virginia.
Oh, that's a poor choice.
Pick.
I mean,
it's a historic pick.
I understand it's a historic.
That's history.
Man, dude, Brennan Armstrong and them boys, Scott Stadium.
We said the same thing about Bryce Perkins and them boys the last time it was in Scott Stadium.
Man, okay. And you cover
the
league.
On that one.
Look, you cover this league, Roddy. If that's the route that you want to go here on your final week of pick and picks, then that's fine.
I cover the league, and Virginia Tech doesn't lose to Virginia. I don't think they'll win outright. I think Virginia beats them this year, but I don't think they blow them out. I just don't. It's just like one of those games that they don't get blown out. Give me South Carolina plus 11.5.
Now we're talking.
I think Clemson wins. But I think South Carolina covers.
What time is that game, Server? Is that a night game?
Yeah, 7:30, baby.
Oh, that changes things for me.
Does it?
Yeah, Sandstorm at night. Buckle up,
last
baby.
One. No, I'm going to bail on the last one. I was going to go late game UCLA minus 7, but I can't do it, man. UCLA's let me down too many times. I picked them this year.
UCLA against Cal? What are you afraid of?
Load up on the Bruins, baby.
Let down. That's what I'm afraid of. Every time I picked UCLA this year, they've lost.
In fairness, that's a bad spot. UCLA's already wrapped up their bowl. They beat their rival. They'll lose at home to Cal, no doubt.
I don't think they'll lose. I just don't know if they'll cover. And Cal's coming off a big win. Like, it was a big win against terrible Stanford. By the way, what's going on at Stanford? Are we firing David Shaw or what?
I don't know. Maybe Scott Strickland thinks he can bring David Shaw to Gainesville, although I don't think Florida fans want that. I don't know. I don't know. They've got to clean up something there. David Shaw is better than this, or he's supposed to be. And they're, 4-7 or something? I mean, they're terrible.
Yep.
They're really bad. All right, so you're going with the six-pack this week?
Yep.
All right, there it is. Roddy, you will be on the call for NC State, UNC. You're flying, even though that's an easy drive up 85. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just drive.
6 hours? Bro, I'm not driving.
You get mileage reimbursement, man. Am I crazy? You want to go to the airport Thanksgiving weekend. You're a psychopath.
Well, I don't want to sit 6 hours in the car and not be able to do anything other than listen to podcasts and wait for Felder Friday to drop, which it probably won't until I get in Raleigh.
At least you control your own destiny in a car. Sort of. Let's talk food.
At the Atlanta airport.
Let's talk food. Highlight of Thanksgiving week in the Jones household is?
All the food, man. Like, I don't have, like, one thing that's like, man, this is it. I got to have it. Like, it's all of it. It's the whole experience. It's the mac and cheese. It's the mashed potatoes. We did prime rib last year. It was fantastic.
Whoa.
So we're going to roll that back as long as it's not too expensive. Like, if that thing gets up near, you know, pricey situations.
How'd you cook it last year?
In the oven.
Nice.
Yeah, you just, you know. So I roasted the bones first, render the fat off the bones, and then you stick the meat thermometer in there, stick it in the oven, salt, pepper, wrap it. Well, I don't know if we did pepper. I think I just did salt on the outside. And then you stick it, you know, overnight in the fridge with the salt on there. It soaks all in there, gets all the deliciousness, and then you stick it in the oven, season the outside, stick that thing in there. Then you take it out and you pour the fat on it as it goes along.
Dang.
Top it in bones. Man, it's still stop.
So that's what you're in charge of. You're in charge of the main course.
I'm in charge of the turkey. I think I'm in charge of the mashed potatoes again, and I'm in charge of the prime rib. And also, the past couple years, I failed at the gravy, but I'm going to nail the gravy this year.
What's for dessert?
I don't know. Whatever mom brings.
Server, I'm going to have my I'm going to make my well, it's got nothing on your family recipe, but I'm going to whip together a couple chess pies this year.
There was some chess pie disrespect on another podcast I participated in last week, and I didn't appreciate it at all.
Chess pie.
One of the Thanksgiving goats.
I was going to say
just sugar. Sugar.
I don't know
in a
what
pie.
That is.
Those hipsters must not know what a proper chess pie tastes like or looks like.
I think
like.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is. Roddy, yeah. I think you would like it. It's very southern, like sweet. Like it's probably like not. Butter pie. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, no.
It's like that, but not like that. I'm telling you it's good, bro.
Hope you guys enjoy your chess pie for Thanksgiving. I really do.
Hey, Roddy, we're having a powwow later on this week. Me, Wayne, Felder, Serber, and Phil Steele, all on the same show. So if you want to join us, I'll let you know when that's happening, but that's going to be our next episode that we drop here on CSN.
All right.
Yeah,
Let's do it. Little
Thanksgiving edition of the crew. All right, I will. Roddy, good stuff, buddy. Enjoy your week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, okay?
Appreciate it. Same to y'all.
There you go. For Roddy, for Serber, I'm Hartzell. We are back probably Wednesday morning dropping another episode of this. We're going to get the whole crew together. We will have Phil Steele on as well. We'll talk through every game in the top 25, rivalry stuff, food discussions. Should be a good time. Check us out on Twitter @CSNowTweets. So long.